So repose or resting is a gift we give our body-mind. Needless to say, it's who we are as stillness, as presence, as life. Life is deeply at rest, even in the midst of activity. So just resting or sitting or stopping activity just for a few moments is no different than walking along through the forest or alongside a stream or water. Everything unwinds. All the functions, all the apps rest. They know they're not needed. And also it's a gift we give the world, because then we are living as balance itself. And we might have noticed the human tribe needs more balance. So just by savoring the stillness, by honoring that stillness and activity aren't two, we just bring balance to this that is apparently forgotten its old ways, its naturalness. So I thank you for that. I'd love to hear what you all are noticing, what you're being present with in your life. Where is awareness drawn? So to speak, just unmute yourself with *6, and when it feels complete, *6 again.
Hi, Pamela.
Yes?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you beautifully.
Oh, good. I'm actually driving in my car. Okay. You can believe. I can be still while driving, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Ophelia, and I don't have much to say except that I'm so excited I get to see you next weekend, because you're going to be in Calgary.
That's so true. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been really, I don't know. I just feel so honored to have found you, because you have pointed me to, you've just pointed me to, I guess, my true nature, and it's really helping me a lot in my life.
Yeah.
And I have so much gratitude. So, thank you.
Yay. Thank you.
Yay.
For resonating.
Yay. Okay, well, looking forward to seeing you next weekend.
Okay, drive safe.
I will. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
This is Corinne.
Hi, Corinne. Welcome.
Hello. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good.
So, you know, I'm noticing that, well, today I was at Zen Mountain Monastery meditating and thinking about how hard it is for me to commit to a particular, you know, sitting practice. I practice every day. I sit down and I meditate and I take that quiet time. And I think over the years I've just learned so many different, sort of meditation practices that there's the sense that, when I find that I can't just, that I'm really having a hard time just sitting doing nothing and, just being, when the thoughts are just so when they're just intense and they're racing, that I just sort of want to find something to concentrate on. And usually it's a body practice, noticing something going on in my body or smiling to the body or, but I guess I worry that this is a hindrance to me, that I don't stick with just one thing, I teach Qigong and, there's those practices that I share with other people and I sort of want to, sort of keep up with those. And then there's, just the sitting doing nothing. But I also find that, I was given these teachings, some sort of Tibetan mantras as part of a, working as a a massage therapist at, you know, doing some Tibetan healings. And it's like my, you know, like all of these things are wonderful. And I just wonder if I'm doing myself any, you know, am I stop? Like, you know, everybody says, like, dig one hole. Like, just dig one hole. Don't dig a bunch of holes. Dig
yeah,
one hole.
We're coming out of a hole for sure. I need to dig another one. But nothing can hinder you, because after noticing what is, then we just follow our resonance.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's always fresh in the moment. Before, when, you know, we thought we were a person and we really needed the anchor of practice to, you know, stabilize enough to notice what is, yeah, we don't need to do that anymore. However, it does sound like your mind is dying for freedom. I mean, it sounds pretty desperate if it's active. And so just bow to the mind in this moment and ask it what would allow it to rest. Because otherwise it's like the racehorse that's going around at too small of a track. But just bowing to that remarkable quicksilver intelligence in the head.
The answer I'm getting is, like, just being okay with whatever thoughts are arising. You know, even if I'm sitting and there's just tons of thoughts, just being okay with there being tons of thoughts.
Okay. So now just say yes to that.
Okay.
You don't have to get that right in the future, but in this moment it's saying, hey, just be okay with me. So we're saying yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And ask it, and only if it resonates, why it reviews and replays and worries. Just see what it's looking for.
And it's afraid that it's kind of glossing over important things that are going on in life, and
mm-hmm.
it's like when it something happens, it I guess the body mind doesn't fully register all the levels and layers to that, so it's like it wants to, you know, like something will happen and I'll have sort of a mental response to it, but not. I won't be aware of what's going on emotionally or physically at that time. So
mm-hmm.
then when I come back to it, perhaps there's a hope that I can sort of be more deeply, more deeply register
yes,
what
yes.
has happened.
Yes, beautiful. Now say yes to that, because it's inviting deeper reflection, and it's inviting more awareness in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just yes, yes, yes to that.
Yeah, I think there's a sense that, you know, sort of emotions get stuck in the body in various places, and you know, and because I'm not sort of like those things don't get processed consciously, so sort of I don't yeah anyhow
yeah so now just thank the mind for its concern about all that. And just ask it if it could also reflect more deeply, in the sense, be more still. Ask it, would that allow deeper reflection or truer noticing, simpler noticing? if it relaxed the mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So ask it just to relax back, and we guarantee its safety. It won't lose anything important. But for it to relax back.
Yeah, there's some resistance there. It's kind of saying that it's got to work hard.
Yes. And tell it, is that its deepest pleasure, or would it like to function from supreme intelligence? So it's working hard or natural supreme intelligence.
Well, the brain enjoys relaxing too.
That's it.
Intelligence.
So yeah. We all have to do this. Every sage has to do this, is that bring, help the mind discern and bring it back to its naturalness. Because it really got pressured into all these extra apps that it doesn't need. Because it's the same wise, all-seeing intelligence that we are. We're just reassuring it, safe to rest. It actually functions very beautifully and with a much bigger view. And I know you know that, but we're just helping the mind discern that it's safe. Okay. It's not going to get in trouble if it relaxes and spreads out and uncontains itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm noticing there's a sort of a memory of coming up of when I was a teenager and I was on the school bus and I was just looking out the window daydreaming, you know, like just being and daydreaming, and it was like some kids were like teasing me because I was just kind of, you know, relaxed, you know, and
yeah.
I got this message from them. You gotta be doing something. Like, you don't just sit and relax. You gotta be thinking or concentrate. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, there was some, we all somehow inhaled that one. So just help it discern. No, this is more our resonance, or you give it the satsang your heart feels is that which it could hear.
Like my daughter Rachel, she comes home from school some days and she says that her brain hurts because she has to concentrate so hard, you know.
Yeah.
I've been telling her, well, maybe you can relax a little more, you know, and she's like, no, I can't.
Well, if you just invite her to thank the concentration, because it's just like a muscle tightens to function. And then the brain can relax, the brow can relax, just by her thanking it. Mm. Yeah, it's a misunderstanding in the educational system that pressure equals future productivity and creativity. It's Actually, we need both. We need concentration and deep relaxation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know you know that. We're just telling the one mind, hey, inviting it to find its natural balance. And reassuring it's safe. It's not going to get in trouble anymore if it goes vast and spacious and
yeah, there's these resistances coming up of, you know, spaciousness meaning spaced out, which
yes.
You know, I think I was put down for
yeah.
You know, at times for being
mm-hmm.
You know, spacious and spaced out and
I just agree with it that we didn't like that and that was their misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And now we can follow our own resonance. Even the mind can follow its own resonance, which is... safe, clear, relaxed, noticing, pure awareness, same, same.
Yeah.
And also we don't want the mind to pick up another belief, but for it, the mind to really check it out for itself. What's true? What's deeply, unshakably true here?
Yeah, which seems to be just noticing that, you know, there's presence here in this moment and with the thinking and with the room and with the body and that, you know, it's not, yeah, noticing the wholeness of all of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. And the immeasurable intelligence. Oh, it's divine. That's why there can be relaxation, because life is immeasurably intelligent, aware, and benevolent. Everything can relax and notice it's being carried.
Yeah, there seems to be a theme when I talk with you that you know, whenever I sort of, you know, come and ask you a question, that the brain is just tight in some way and constricted, and I think I forget to check how the brain is doing, whether it's, you know, it's gotten itself into a little knot.
That's it.
And
yeah.
I forget to ask.
But
like,
that's
or,
the
you
most
know, I like to remember
important
to ask,
thing.
Like, kind of, you know, it's like, oh, brain, can you relax here? Would you like to, you know?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Its natural state actually is relaxation and emptiness, stillness, silence. So it's just on its return. So just be very patient with it and be its friend, because it
mm-hmm.
did get scared into functioning that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just this way that our society equates intelligence with sort of sharpness and tightness and
yeah.
Being, you know, the spring being very strongly coiled.
Yeah, beautifully said. So true. Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear.
Well, thank you, Pamela.
Say hi to everyone at your house.
Oh, thank you. I will.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, Pamela.
Hey, Rosie.
How's it going?
Great.
Oh, good. I just followed along. That was really good. That's what I was thinking of this morning. I was like, wow, my mind is really racing. So, when you said why the mind in review and came back, I got that it needs assurance.
Yeah.
And then I follow along with that, and what always ends up happening is just like that I just feel like once I come start resting, I feel naked. You know, I'm just there, and there's like this subtle thing that wants to hook with thought. And I'm, you know, that's when you said that we thought we were person. And
mm-hmm.
All of that seems to keep kind of meshing together, you know, like
mm-hmm.
like I'm understanding something. And when I stand there naked, I must have a misunderstanding.
Well, you don't, but maybe there's something in the body-mind that, especially the thought and the mind, since it's formless, It likes to tether itself to ideas or beliefs.
Because
it has this misunderstanding, it's going to float off into empty space and disappear.
Yeah, that's what the assurance feeling felt like, right?
So we're just reassuring it, as you say. Just, it can't go anywhere. It's pure intelligence, the intelligence of life itself. Where would life go?
Where would life go? And there's a fear there, a death, a fear. Like I'm not, I don't know where I am, or that sounds crazy, but it's true.
If you're inclined, just reassure that. Just always here, always here, or you'll have your own unique satsang to that. Nothing goes anywhere, always here.
Right. Always here. And then there's that just being.
Mm-hmm.
And then right there, there's a little subtle thing. Oh, I gotta hook into going to work, and I don't need to, like you say, you know, get small in order to go.
Lovely, yeah. And just confirming that. Yeah, it's safe to just be, it's safe. All activity and creativity arise from that.
And life just comes about. So, you know, when you understood that it was Pamela the role, these kind of hooks, they just fell away?
Well, some of them just fell away, but for a few years after noticing that, I wasn't just Pamela, I was life itself. There was this being a friend inside, and you know, because the apps or the inner services, they lag a little bit behind, you know, saying, hey, are you sure you don't need me, worry says, and pressure says, are you sure you don't need me to motivate you, and
says,
are you sure you don't need me to get you anywhere? So all these, like, extra services. Oh, just, oh, thank you, thank you.
And so planning is saying just lighter? Yeah,
just being a friend and helping it discern because, you know, just as we had the habit of just being Rosie or just being Pamela, so these things just have the habit of their function. And so one by one they come to you, the heart of hearts or the sage, and go, hey, is it okay to rest? Do you need me? And there's actually only a few, maybe there's 10 functions like worry, pressure, rushing, replaying, reviewing, and it's all for survival, right?
Right. Survival of what?
Well, it thinks of the body, and it's trying to serve
the identity of a fake me.
Oh, I wouldn't even worry about that. It was truly trying to protect and serve innocence, which is the true nature of Rosie and Pamela.
Yeah, I get this sense that I guess the standing there naked is what it always I come back to.
And just notice the rooted presence in that. Expansion and the rootedness, because then all the apps relax. Because if there's just expansion and it hasn't noticed the rootedness, then it'll still move to serve you in weird and wonderful ways.
Right, just loving everything, They have to know, too, that they're alive and need assurance.
Everything has presence and innocence in it.
Yeah, there's a confusion, there's a rootedness, and a naked feeling of just nothing to hook to. There's a confusion.
That's right. And invited to look behind nothing to root into. Because it's already noticed its formlessness. But now we're going to have it notice formlessness is unshakable and has mountain strength and deep roots.
Yeah, my body buzzes. Feels good. It's very, see, that's how it gets, how does that formlessness, it must be a vibration that I get. Formless. Because my body feels it.
Yeah, so we think it's empty of everything, but it's actually not. Filled with love and potentiality, and
it's like it's everywhere.
Ooh.
Oh.
I had the funniest moment yesterday because we had our wonderful woman's satsang in San Anselmo yesterday, and I was driving home at about 7 o'clock at night, and there was this big, you know, digital sign on the highway, and it said, "Buzzed driving is drunk driving." And I was so buzzed from the satsang with all these amazing woman sages. So I started laughing. I go, "Uh-oh."
I let it come over.
I'm buzzed.
Yeah, that's the feeling. Buzzing inside.
Yeah, without any spirits other than spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to just stay with that. I appreciate it. Thank you. Enjoy your day.
Yes, and you.
Okay, Lorna. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Pamela?
Yes?
Well, since no one is speaking, it's Ophelia calling again. I'm at home now. I have had an interesting experience where I went into this stillness, and I actually I really like this vast black velvety space I can go into.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the ultimate safety to me. And it sounds weird, but I can really only recall going there 3 times. And I don't even know where that is, but it feels like my being is actually there. And it's that place where I can call out, and I can scream if I need to, or I can ask for anything that I need in that moment. And I was in Sedona in January, and I had sort of a difficult thing happen in my relationship, and I was in dire straits emotionally. So I went to this place, and I actually called out, to you, almost asking just for some guidance and helping me to be okay with what was happening. So my question is, did you hear it?
Well, definitely who we all are, you know, prior to form is that gorgeous, luminous darkness. So as that, I definitely heard it, and all sages everywhere heard it.
Yeah. It's so, I felt like you heard it. I felt like I was heard. And when that happened, it was like, I guess you would call that grace, because then it just makes me feel so happy to know that, you know, when we're going through difficult things, like if we call out, it's heard and it's okay.
Yeah.
That's just so beautiful. Like, I'm so, I think my heart was just like, see?
Yes, grace, love actually being invoked and called. And it's such a beautiful humility, I find.
Yeah.
So thank you for knowing yourself as that, and also knowing you can call from there.
Yeah, it kind of feels like therapy, you know?
Instant.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, thank you, love. Thanks for the report.
Talk to you later.
Hello, Pamela.
Yes.
This is Charlie from Berkeley.
Hey, Charlie.
Forgive me for always calling in.
Oh, my goodness. I'm happy to hear from you.
Well, I think things are not going well. I'm an older person, and my primary purpose in life is to really 100% work on my physical condition, and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit at the computer for hours and do less and less. I mean, I try to retrieve a password, or I don't do anything meaningful. I mean, I listen to music. Music is when I can't function on the computer, there's a universe of soothing, extraordinarily beautiful music. But that's that I can tell. There's a certain point when I just lie down and say, forget it. And that's a deep, ingrained giving up that is very troubling to me.
Charlie, can we just scroll backward? We'll honor the body in a moment, but can you sense there's a judging, disapproving from the mind?
I guess I'm just looking at it objectively, it seems like. I mean, I guess you can say, I have difficulty being positive, so...
Oh, that's not true either. That's the mind's confession.
I'm doing the best I can.
I like that. That sounds more like presence talking. Yeah, so in this moment...
Then it very easily goes in, the best I can is, as soon as any frustration happens, I just lie down and give up. That there is just the, everything is okay, and this and that, and I have certainly evolved with the array of teachings and wonderful beings that I sit with, and I appreciate that, but maybe I should go in a cave somewhere and just, but the thing is, I don't really sit. I spend...
Oh, wait a second. Whoa, Charlie. Just thank everybody, all the various opinions about the embodiment and about you. Just thank everybody and invite them all to rest. Because nothing is ultimately true unless it's about presence, about naturalness. Just thank all the various opinions about all the file on you and the embodiment and what you should be doing and what you're not.
Well, it feels like there's a lot of anger and rage that needs to be released. Not just in acknowledging it.
Okay. But we start with honoring the frustration. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
Frustration, oddly enough, is a beautiful invitation back into the unconditioned. Just the conditioned saying, this is ridiculous. And the unconditioned going, yeah, let's return. So just feed the frustration with big yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, Pamela, I have to say at this point in being with you over 5 years, I could feel this utter relaxation, this nectar of peacefulness. with sitting here in this satsang, in this inquiry, it's a good part of the day. I have to say, there's something to do with my brain being disorganized.
Yeah, but wait, go back to peace. Here's a field of stillness, which is who you are. And then frustration is arising in it, so we honor it. Trust me, this is such a gift to sit with that kind of frustration. Frustration, when it's honored, will uncontain the field and return everything to balance. So even if it doesn't resonate, just a few bows to frustration and tell it, you're right, you're right.
I can feel it. It almost feels like being Frustration is like being electrocuted. Frustration, the feeling that came was this frizzly, like static all around my body.
Yeah. Now we wanted to uncontain itself some more. So just to the fizzly static. Yes, yes, yes. Your medicine is welcome here. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and it does feel like these beautiful images are coming very, very fluidly. It almost feels like there's this vortex inward dissolving that shell of frustration.
But
the frustration is an ultimate feeling of separateness.
No, don't believe that thought.
Okay.
This is divine frustration. This is the unconditioned dissolving the conditioned and the habitual. So just feed it again with gratitude. Yes, 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 yes. Fizzly. Let it fizzle all the conditioning back into formlessness.
Yes, I mean, I could genuinely feel the yes arising. Of gratitude and devotion, and seeing that I am a deep part of my being is in religious forms. I'm very into like the Sikh temple. I bow, and there's a there's only the absolute and God that can save. it's interesting that I have this capacity to go there and see beyond the limitations of how they take the religious part.
Yes, yeah, so go back to, see, the mind, one of its apps when we're doing inquiry is the distraction app. So
yes.
When we're sitting with something like divine frustration, and as it starts to liberate the body-mind of the past and the habitual containments, that distraction app will come in to stop that. So we'll just go back to the divine frustration, and just divine frustration, your medicine is welcome here. Feel free to liberate the body of anything that's not real.
This is softening, but there's still like there's still like this swarmy jellyfish like primitive being that is still the vestige of the frustration.
Yeah, but honor the frustration again. Just yes, yes, yes. I mean, what's so great about conditioning is eventually even the conditioning is bored with limitation and containment and these sort of habitual placating habits that are given to the body-mind just to soothe it. Finally, you know, this divine frustration rises up and just demands newness, freshness, you know, nourishment. So we're just feeding it again.
And actually, this is very interesting. I usually take notes, and I try to take notes in a very logical way. And usually people with learning things take notes in very... I've sat next to people, and it's very interesting the way they fill the page with information. It's not along the lines, which I've done for 65 years. And that's just when I started writing. But I see that I'm being more free with myself.
Very good.
But it's very hard.
Go back to do a few more bows. My job is to anchor you in the inquiry and in presence. So you don't follow they're perfectly named, these little trains of thought, because they're trains. You jump on and all of a sudden you're not where you were.
Right. You say that, and I have an image that helps me. Some teacher might have been you. Someone else said, you know, you're standing on the street corner. You don't have to get on the bus.
Yes, nicely said.
Yeah.
Yes, and the bus is just another habit to keep us from fully liberating the body mind. So we're just bowing again, like, oh, divine frustration. You're right. You're right. You're right, you're right.
So your divine frustration, you're right, you're right. I guess my trying to get the... because right now I'm feeling this bittersweet stillness, and there is this ache of sadness and the limitations of my physical life and body. So there is a deep, deep, almost exquisite feeling of the hurt I feel and of the caring for it.
Mm-hmm. The caring,
it's not even, it's just being with myself fully, and the fact is there is sadness and suffering that
now just bow to your body, Charlie.
Hmm?
Bow to your body. And just a few please forgive me's.
Then I go into being feeling so much regret and
but this is
not
natural
being
regret.
Able to maintain my body in the optimal, you know, in the most efficient.
Yeah, but you don't have to worry about that, because the body's main nourishment is respect. So just bow to it, because it's nature itself. Ah.
Yeah, I feel sort of tears welling up.
And just a few thank you, I love yous to the body. Thank you, I love you, dear body.
I love you, dear body.
And just stay with that, you know, when you remember, just a few thank you, I love you, dear bodies, because that will enliven it. And then it will demand a walk or to get off the computer.
Yeah, that's where I'm practically so paralyzed. I
No, don't believe that. That was true
well,
in the
I
past.
Well, I did get up. I want to get out of the house.
Yes,
my goal every day is to get out of the house, and then I don't have anything just to get out of the house. I mean, I just, yeah.
No,
so,
but we need to, you just need to ask for support, ask people to take you for walks. That's why
so
I have a dog other than the big furry love.
Oh, okay, you're right.
She gets me out of the house, she takes me for a walk. So friends can function that way too.
Right. That's a tender point, because I one of the main things I seem to resist is reaching out.
Yes, but that's because the mind has an idea about it. But now it's official. It's been recorded on the East Base Open Circle Satsang. So you might get some phone calls from people saying, hey, do you want to go for a walk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then again, I then usually say, I walk so slowly, they'd have to be very patient.
Oh, no, but nobody cares. Just being outside is enough.
But being outside is the difference. And also, Pamela, what I realized in my disorganized mind, I love urban nature. I don't get out in the country. But I look at a tree, and I realized recently there's a sense of order there. There's a sense of, externally, there's a sense of, if you, on a positive level, we live in the city, there's traffic lights, the people walk, it's very organized. The people do what they need to do.
Yes. Order and disorder are not two. The mind just made them two. So you just rest, Charlie.
Okay, thank you.
And love your body.
Thank
How's
you.
That?
I will love my body, and I will see you tonight.
Okay, dear.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Pamela. This is Kenny calling.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. I am here.
True.
True and good. And two things. I heard you say your job is to help anchor us into inquiry and presence.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting word, anchor. And
it's
I have been
just temporary until we all notice our deep, unshakable roots.
Yeah.
I'm a temporary anchor.
I'm a temporary caller.
Very good.
Because I have felt very unanchored in, and, you know, I have the experience of contacting my roots and seemingly not yet staying anchored in them. And another thing I just experienced that I wanted to share is I'm aware in this life that I have a longing for communion with, you know, like-minded, like-spirited beings. And I have had a repeated experiences of being very connected, intimately, deeply connected, with groups, small groups, family, ashram, whatever it may be. And then it ending in, dissolution and one form or another, heartbreak. So I imagine that's all pointing me into a deeper, finally unshakable sense of self, in which I may not yet recognize myself completely. And I just went through another round of it, and it brought up the memory and the feelings of having gone through it before, and not something that was on my mind.
Yeah. And life throws us back on ourselves, weans us off of, outer communities back into the one that never comes or goes, which is us, right? Always here. Yeah.
It's a tall order, I feel like.
Well, just in this moment, usually the rootedness, is very accessible in the belly. So just in this moment, noticing what awareness is aware of in your belly area. And there's never a right answer. We're being curious.
Well, looking to the rootedness in my belly, I'm first aware of emotion in my chest and throat.
Okay.
On the way down.
Yeah, and honor that and let it know it's welcome here. And see what it needs in order to rest or feel safe, or if it has any wisdom for you.
It feels like there's a lot, there are many different energies that are present, and there's something about an integration, and there's perhaps something to be done or to be invited.
Okay.
That would help integrate and, or release. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
And we don't have to know anything. We just say yes inside to it, honoring its own intelligence. Just yes, yes, yes. Same presence, just in a different form or function. As stillness, our gift is listening, presence, being a friend, really honoring everything equally. And how does that sensation in the throat and the heart respond to being with you, being with it?
Well, it quiets down by, it quiets down when it's given that attention, stillness.
And so maybe going to the belly now and seeing if there's any protection there, any notable sensation or intelligence.
The belly's an interesting issue.
The issue.
So, I was in a lineage years ago, which was very focused on bringing awareness into the belly.
Yes.
And that's another situation where the teachings, well, the teaching got mixed up with the teacher.
Uh-huh.
The teacher was a big problem, and the ashram imploded, and one of those, you know, common situations. And to some degree, I left behind the teachings somewhat with the teacher, and so there's just a thought that I didn't continue to pay as much attention to the belly as I had been.
Yeah, that makes sense. But how about this moment? Can we just give it a bow to that remarkable intelligence in the belly? Just natural presence, even if it's relaxed or if it's protected.
It feels quiet.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
It feels very calm. And
ask it to let you feel its strength, its mountain strength. Or its fire, whatever it wants to reveal. And what's noticed?
Well, what's noticed is it feels like there's an opening there, and my mind gets a little, I feel a little lightheaded from going, focusing on the belly.
Oh, okay. And just thank it for no reason. That's the food of the gods. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I find that inner devotion or gratitude really enlivens and soothes and balances within.
And will that help? Will focusing more back on the belly help calm the mind? And
absolutely, because otherwise, if awareness is living mainly in the head, it's too much shakti for the head.
Mm.
So, you know, the body is always inviting us to come occupy it fully down to the toes. And so just ask the presence in the belly to uncontain itself. And you can also ask the presence in the head to uncontain itself. Just inviting it all to stretch a little bit, like a lovely yogic stretch out of the body. The true nature of the mind is silence, which is why it has a capacity for so much sound effects, so to speak.
Mm.
And generally just bowing to the mind and bowing to the belly, it opens anyway. So thank you for staying with it and expressing devotion and gratitude within.
Yeah. I have been on that experience, and I think that being too much energy up in the mind, and it got to be a very out of balance situation that... Mm-hmm. I've been on a journey of coming back into balance.
Oh, wonderful.
With it.
Yes.
And it gets, you know, tricky because the mind thinks it's responsible for solving all the problems of the world.
But then we can also thank that because it's showing you and all of us it has a heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful to be with you, dear.
Thank you. Wonderful to be with you. Bless you.
Thanks. Pamela? Yes?
This is Mary, and I'm in New Mexico now.
Hello.
Hi. At one time, you had an idea about letting me have consciousness take me for a ride in looking for a good place to reside.
Oh, yes. You drive consciousness around. Yeah.
I bet everyone would like to hear just a little bit about that. So could you talk some more about that?
Well, once again, we're just following the resonance. Resonance is an earlier, more ancient, as far as I can tell, infallible intelligence. And a few times when I had to move or wanted to move, I would just drive consciousness around in the car and just notice resonance or lack of resonance. And it was just so amazing, just driving around. And it would always, you know, it would always be pretty clear what neighborhoods or areas or where there was a relaxed, expansive or yes. So it's kind of fun.
Okay.
It's what Robert Adams used to say, trust the power that knows the way. But here we're just listening within, and this beautiful body amplifies the resonance, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes thought will want to come in and say, oh, no, no, but we like this area. And yet there's still an impulse to drive around to different areas. So then we follow that impulse. Because that part of thought, it likes the habitual and the known.
Yes. And it wants to make sure you haven't forgotten something. Well, what about such and such?
Yeah, that's right. And it's lovely because, as Charlie said earlier, that urban, you know, looking at people's gardens and looking at new neighborhoods, and it takes us out of the known and the habitual. And who knows? Consciousness knows where it wants to live, what it wants to eat, and how it likes to nourish itself, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pamela. That was
exactly... Thank you. Say hi to New Mexico.
I will.
Okay.
Bye, dear.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Pamela. This is Larry.
Hello.
You know, just picking up a little bit on what Charlie and one or two other people, I think, were touching on about the body.
Yes.
I also noticed that the body sort of has its own special language in letting us know what it wants, what
mm-hmm.
it needs. And so in the last few weeks, I've noticed that I have a little bit of lower back pain going on. And I'm kind of, you know, often when I'm in bed laying half awake in the morning, I just kind of am aware of it, and I ask it what it wants to tell me. You know, I think that there's maybe something that it needs or,
mm-hmm.
you know, something it wants to say. So far, I haven't gotten any clear response. You know, it's just there. I think if there's anything it's saying, maybe that it wants to rest and not be used too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I was just wanting to ask you if you had any ideas about, you know, how to sit with a physical pain of that kind.
Oh, well, it's asking for presence to be with it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So just sometimes I think of presence as warm, intelligent aloe vera gel.
Yeah.
Or like a balm, a B-A-L-M.
Yeah.
So just
just giving that sensation your full attention.
Yes. That seems to be what it wants.
That's it. And it's what I think is amazing is to notice or remember that this pure awareness that we are is heated to 98.6 in the body.
Yes.
And I don't know what that is in Celsius, but just if you keep the attention there,
at the 98.6 or?
No, at the lower back.
Yeah, okay.
And just stay with it a few heartbeats longer, movements longer than you normally would. Because that's all it's saying is just be with me and don't move away.
It's kind of, you know, I notice that it's asking for exactly that. It wants warm, loving attention. And at the same time, it also emanates a kind of warmth by itself.
Yeah.
You know, it gives off a sort of warm, loving attention also.
Oh. Yeah, so now it's a circle of satsang.
It is.
Yeah.
A two-way satsang. Yeah.
Lovely. And really, now we feed it with gratitude.
Okay. Yes, I think that might be what I was not doing. I was just asking it what it needs.
Yeah.
But the gratitude, that's what it needs.
Yeah, I think of the spine as the Bodhi tree, and each one of us is awareness, and we're the Buddha, right? The pure awareness that's leaning into the Bodhi tree called the spine. And yet it's rare we ever thank the spine or the... It's rare we thank the body, period. So these sensations, especially as we get older, they enforce a deeper listening, a more of an original respect. Thank you. Yes, yes. And of course it won't use language or words, but it's saying, come here.
There are times when it actually seems to want something special, like a particular, if I'm laying in bed, it wants to stretch in a particular way, you know, like a very gentle stretching out. And, you know, it asks for little things like that.
Yes, how but wise it is.
It's very wise. It's it's a sort of like this wizard sage. I'm just hoping that, you know, that it will relax, that it will, you know, come back into harmony.
Yes.
It is in harmony, but it's, I don't know.
Well, at this point, as far as I can tell, the body is teaching us the old ways.
Yeah.
Listening, being with, not moving against. Staying a little longer, being timeless with it, rather than drive-through satsang, like, all is well, bye.
Right.
You're on your own. Call me if you need me, but please don't call very much.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounds good. I think I'll spend a little bit more time with it.
That's all it's. And then it teaches us, like that song, Slow Down, You Move Too Fast. It's inviting us to timelessly be with and savor and notice. And
Yes.
Yeah, I think the body was never in time, which is why we need that rushing, racing pressure app herd it along, you know, because it's nature itself. What's the rush?
It just wants to relax.
Yeah. And then sometimes it likes, you know, when we were younger, we probably liked a jog at high speed, or so it loves it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe as we get older, it's just saying, you know, give me a little rest. Let me slow down a little bit.
Wonderful.
No more projects. Oh, good. I will do that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pamela.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, Pamela. This is Richard from Canada.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm very good now, thank you. When I sat down, I was feeling a lot of anxiety and fear. And as the other callers were speaking and you were responding to them, I used the same suggestions on those feelings I was having of anxiety and fear, honoring and thanking, and now I feel very good. I just feel like my whole energy system is full of light, and at least for now, the anxiety and fear is gone.
Oh, wonderful. And just say thank you to it, because that's the remarkable thing about this, you and I and all of us functioning as compassion inside and a friend, and it all just liberates itself.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Pretty light duty, I think.
Very light duty. thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, dear. And I just want to thank everyone who has spoken today and also not spoken. Just thank you for rooting all of us. Each one of us contributes to this meeting of mountains, this sacred grove of deeply rooted ancient trees. And that allows us to be less distracted, notice what is, and also not move away. To stay with something just a little bit longer than distraction would like us to, And it has an effect on the field, this more unshakable attention. It invites all beings to come back to their naturalness, their natural balance. So thank you for contributing to the wellness of everyone. And I'm going to return the hosting back to Kate. Much gratitude for your silent presence and hosting us.
Thank you, Pamela. And yes, a big thank you to everyone. It does feel like such a beautiful collective healing opportunity. So thank you for joining us. And Pamela will be back with us Sunday, March 29th. And for those who are local, she's also will be in Berkeley this evening at Chokhmah Halev. And all of that information is on our website at opencirclecenter.org. And at this point, it seems to work best if we just, if you are inclined to say goodbye to each other and to Pamela, you can go ahead and press star 6 and we can say our goodbyes.
Goodbye, all. Goodbye, Pamela.
Goodbye, Pamela.
Goodbye, Pamela.
Bye-bye.
Buddy.
Bye, Sandra.
Bye, Rich.
Bye, Pamela.
Bye, Mary.
Bye, Kate. Bye, Pamela.
Bye-bye. Peace and blessings to all. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Much love.